A gentleman was walking through an elephant camp one day, and he noticed that all the elephants were not being kept in cages, nor were they being held by chains as they usually are. All that was holding them from escaping the camp was a small piece of rope that was tied to one leg and attached to a stake driven in the ground nearby. As the man gazed upon those elephants, he was completely confused as to why those massive elephants didn't just use their strength to snap that rope and escape from the camp. That would have been easily enough for them to do, but instead they just didn't try to escape at all. Curious and wanting to know why that was, he asked a trainer nearby why the elephants were just standing there and why they never tried to escape. The trainer said, "You know, when they were very young and a lot smaller, we used to use the same size rope. We tied them then, and at that age, that rope was strong enough to hold them back. As they grew up, they were conditioned to believe that they could not break away, and so they don't try. Those ropes still hold them fast. They never try to break free." Did you know that people can be trained in a similar manner as elephants? It's true. It was the Nazi criminal leader Adolf Hitler's Reich Minister of Propaganda who said, "If you tell a big lie enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it's true." Wow, how amazing that is. And you know what? A lie, even if it's believed by the masses, will destroy everyone who believes it. The Bible has something to say about that. In John chapter 8, verse 32, the Bible says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Lies will entrap us, ensnare us, largely because they're believed by unsuspecting people. We as Christians have to be ever so careful with whom we associate. We have to be careful who we allow to come into our private space. We even have to be careful who we allow to come into our homes. A godly man in my life many years ago used to say, "Watch your friends and your enemies can't hurt you." One thing that I've learned in this thing called life is that everybody standing in your corner is not really in your corner. When I think about the story in the Old Testament of Samson and Delilah, I can't help but wonder what in the world Samson was thinking. When you're deep in sin, you just don't think right. That much is obvious. When you're deep in sin, you can't reason properly. And thus was the mess created by Samson. Let's look to the scriptures. Judges chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. When Delilah saw that he told her with all of his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come once more, for he has told me his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. She lulled them to sleep on her knees, and he called for a man who had shaved off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Sin has blinded your thinking and reasoning. If you're in sin, you are blinded by that sin. It will cause you to make excuses and tell lies that normally you would never do. Samson was truly messed up. First of all, Samson was involved with a woman he had no business with. He was hooked up with a harlot. Her name was Delilah. She was convinced by 5 Philistine lords to betray Samson. She was told she'd be paid well if she would do that. They told him to get his secret out of him any way he could, the secret of his strength that had so long been persecuting the Philistines as Samson demolished town after town and warrior after warrior of the Philistines. They told her it would be rather kind to do this thing for them, and you will be paid handsomely for your job. For this they bidded high. They each promised to give her 1,100 pieces of silver. That was a total of 5,500 pieces of silver in all. Now, that many shekels of silver in today's currency would come up to about $89,641. Wow, that's quite a chunk of change to destroy someone's life. And that tells us just how much the lords of the Philistines wanted to destroy Samson. They put up that money that in today's time would be worth many times more than that $86,000. Samson sold out to sin, and then sin sold Samson's soul to the Philistines. Just look what money can do to a person. Delilah was hired to pretend she loved Samson, to deceive him and to get him to share the secret of his great strength with her so she could steal it from him, all for the love of money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Oh, how true it is. The love of money will lead you to evil. It is the root of many kinds of evil. One of our common theme songs here at the radio station is called "Using Things and Loving People." Part of the chorus of that song says, "Using things and loving people, that's the way it's got to be. Using things and loving people, look around and you can see that loving things and using people only leads to misery. Using things and loving people, that's the way it's got to be." Don't ever get that backwards, because when you use people and love things, you'll wreck your life and theirs too. That's always a promise. Our blessed Savior was betrayed by one that he called a friend, and that friend betrayed him with a kiss. Now, in that day and age, a kiss on both cheeks between two men represented a greeting by friends, close friends, or family. Christ was betrayed by the kiss of a friend, all for filthy lucre, for the love of money. Delilah used what she had to get Samson to reveal his secret. In actuality, they were both lying to each other the whole time. The first time around, Samson lied and told her, "If you tie me with 7 fresh thongs, I would lose my strength." Now, thongs were strong leather strings used to tie their sandals. They were very strong and would hold up under the toughest duration. Samson went to sleep and she called the Philistine soldiers. Samson woke up tied with thongs and immediately killed all of them. But she kept on badgering Samson about not telling her the truth. She kept telling him, "If he loved her, he'd tell her. If you love me, you'll tell me. We raised 3 boys, and I threatened my boys within an inch of their life if they ever told a girl, 'If you love me, you'll let me.' It's the biggest lie that man has ever perpetrated on another human being. If you love me, you'll share it with me. You'll let me." And that's exactly what Delilah said to Samson. Samson told Delilah finally after the badgering a second time, "If you tie me with fresh rope, I would be as helpless as a baby." So Delilah took new ropes when he went to sleep and tied him with them. And then the men hidden in the room when she called for them, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he snapped the ropes off his arms like they were threads. And he killed the soldiers a second time. But Delilah kept on badgering Samson. She would not give up. Samson finally told her after the badgering continued for so long, "If you were to tie my 7 braids of hair," he's getting closer, "if you tie the 7 braids of hair into the fabric on the loom and make it tight with a pin, I would get very weak." She waited till Samson was asleep, and again when he was sleeping, Delilah took 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with a pin. Then she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he awoke from his sleep again, pulled the pin and the loom from his hair with the fabric, and Samson killed all the soldiers again. Delilah was furious by now. "You've made a fool out of me," she said, 3 times. She finally poured it on strong this time. She said, "You don't love me, because if you love me, you would tell me. If you love me, you'll let me." She got out the sweet-smelling candles, and she poured it on thick and hard. You know, there was some of that insidious perfume and a lot of batting of those big long eyelashes and probably some strong drink involved in the situation, some think. With those lights being dimmed, this was the time. Samson finally gave in to all the badgering and beguiling. Sin had won in Samson's heart. He agreed to share his long-kept secret with Delilah. He told her that if his head was ever shaved, he would lose his strength. She got Samson just like she wanted him, probably drunk and asleep. And when he was in a deep sleep, she signaled for one of the Philistine soldiers to come in and shave his head. Then she cried, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and he thought, "I'll go out like I did before. I'll shake myself loose." But Samson did not know that the Lord had left him. The part of this story that always gets me is the very last part I just said. Samson didn't know the Lord had left him. You see, when you live in sin and you allow sin to come into your heart and your life and to dominate your heart, you won't even realize that the Lord's left the building. Most people don't defiantly just choose one day to walk out of church and God and slam the door in God's face. Most all the time, it happens gradually. It starts with a little sin. It starts with a negligence of reading a Bible or not praying every day or not going to church every time the doors are open or not being so active involved in tithing and supporting God's work. It starts small. It starts by drifting. And that drift gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, a drift gets so big you don't even realize you're outside the door until it's too late. It's like a little fire in the corner. You know, they say one of the theories as to why the Titanic sunk was that there was a fire in one of the boilers, and when that iceberg struck the side of it, it exploded because the water hit that hot, scalding boiler. And when it did, it ruptured the ship even worse. That can't be proven at this point, but it is a legitimate theory because there has been official reports of that fire in the boiler when they departed from Southampton. You know what? Sometimes we have little fires brewing in our heart and we don't pay any attention to them. Like those men on the Titanic who said God himself cannot sink this ship. God did sink it with a little bitty piece of ice in the ocean. And whether it was brought on and exacerbated by a fire in a boiler or not, God still sunk that ship because there was sin that had taken over in the captain's chair and below. When you try to compromise, when you try to make deals with God, you find out that you're on your way out the door. You've already slipped, you've already fallen. And when you start making deals with God, then you realize, you should realize, your surrender to Christ is gone. You're no longer surrendered. I heard a story one time. It was told of a little boy who wanted a bike. So he decided he'd pray about it. This little boy paced around in the living room trying to think of what he would pray. And finally he said, "God, if you'll get me that new bike, I'll be good the rest of my life." Well, he thought about it a few minutes and he decided God would never believe that. And so he decided to try again. He said, "God, if you get me that new bike, I'll be good for 3 weeks." Once again, after he thought about it a bit, he thought, "God will never believe that either." Well, about that time, he spotted a statue of the Virgin Mary on the mantel, and he got a bright idea. He swiped the statue and took it to his room, tucked it in a drawer, and returned to the living room and looked up at the mantel, and he said, "God, if you ever want to see your mother again..." You ever bargain with God like that? Ladies and gentlemen, you can't bargain with God. We all laugh at that cute story, but you'd be surprised how many people, how many times, try to manipulate God into answering prayer. By how many words we use in prayer, by how much faith we claim to have, by how many scriptures we quote, by how much we claim to be close to the Lord, and so on the list goes. But God cannot and will not be manipulated. I've often said, God is not a vending machine where you put a prayer in, pull a lever, and get a blessing out. That's not the way it works. You surrender to the Lord Jesus, and by your surrender, God will hear your heart, and he will hear your prayer, and he will step in beside you. That's how the anointing of the Lord works. That's how you walk with Christ, by surrendering to him and giving to him. Never try to manipulate or barter or negotiate with God to make a deal. He'll never do things that are against his will. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. God will answer your prayers if your prayers are in the will of God. And if your heart is sold out to the Lord, then you will find yourself in the will and in the center of God's plan for your life. That's how you find your prayers answered. Thank you for supporting this ministry and for keeping alive Joy Christian Radio. You are such a blessing when you pray for us. You're a blessing when you support us financially. And you're a blessing when you send us those testimonies to let us know how God is blessing you through this ministry. God bless you and thank you for tuning in. Want to say a special thank you for listening to Sunday Worship. That's all the time we have for the program. And do be sure to listen twice on Sunday, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and again at 6 p.m. that evening, all Central Time. Go to the website, joychristianradio.com. Use a credit card or debit card there. You can text it. Text the word GIVE, the amount in dollars, to 833-843-2848. Or you can mail it in. The address is Post Office Box 6, Quitman, Mississippi, 39355. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial contributions that keep us on the air. This is Joy Christian Radio. Have yourself a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time on Sunday Worship.